Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck at WNYC 93.9 and online at WNYC.org. I'm John Schaefer. Since her 1994 debut in St. Petersburg, music critics have been swooning over the Russian soprano Anna Netrebko. Some say she possesses the holy trinity of opera talents. She's a great singer, a commanding actress, and a glamorous stage presence. She's won raves from San Francisco to Milan, and most recently for her performance alongside the Mexican tenor Rolando Villazón. The pair made their first joint appearance at the Met on Saturday night in Verdi's Rigoletto. There are future performances at the Metropolitan Opera through February. Anna Netrebko joins us in our Soundcheck studio today. Welcome.
Hello.
So I understand you initially wanted to be an actress as opposed to maybe an opera singer?
Like all the girls, I wanted to be an actress. But the competition to Academy of the Artistic Art was too big. And there was no competition to be an opera singer. So I decided, okay, I will learn a little bit, a couple years, and after that I will switch to actress. But it's never happened.
Well, I mean, it has happened to an extent, though, because there you are on screen, Princess Diaries 2, teenage girls around the country watching you in the role of an opera singer. So, in a strange way, your little detour into the world of opera got you back onto the big screen. When did you actually discover that you actually could sing opera well enough to make a career out of it? How old were you?
Oh, well, I don't know. It happens when I already was singing on the stage. And I heard so many times that I don't have voice and maybe I should change my career. And it's... But I was listening then, and I continued to study, lots of work, and I say, yeah, one day I will be, yeah.
So do you still go through a lot of the kind of same things that actors go through when you're learning a new role?
Of course. I'm still learning, and I still there is a lot of space where I have to move forward, and of course.
All right, so, and is it strange that there are now so many thousands of young Americans who know your name and know what you look like, but have never seen you actually do your day job as an opera singer?
I hope they will come to listen to me on the opera stage, because it's completely different.
Well, now, you began with the Kirov Opera, which has become known for, you know, producing a lot of great opera singers. I was actually sort of surprised when you said there was too much competition to be an actress and not a whole lot for opera singers. The impression I got was that the Kirov is just like a factory where they're just churning out all one opera singer after another.
We like to sing in Russia, that's true.
Yeah.
It's lots of voices there. Yeah.
So is there a specific style of singing that that is practiced in the Mariinsky Theater with the Kirov Opera?
Well, not really, but we've been learned what we have to sing. Doesn't matter if we're sick or feel bad, you have to be able to sing and to sing well, and you have to cut the orchestra. That's
right.
How they teach us to sing.
So you have to be able to get, there's 100 guys down there in the pit,
you have to be loud. Yeah, you have to be loud.
Yeah, but you have to be musical too, right? I mean,
yes.
That seems to be the real trick, to be loud and to still be musical. We're going to hear an excerpt from one of your recordings of opera arias. This is Sempre Libera. My guest is the Russian soprano Anna Netrebko.
Sempre lieto, ne tu.
That is the voice of Anna Netrebko, the one that just finished, not this one.
That was Villazón.
That is Rolando Villazón. The two of you have been paired up a lot lately. How does that happen? Do people just decide that you're the hot opera couple?
I don't know. It just happens. We sang together last year in Los Angeles, and there was a big success. It was Romeo and Juliet, and it was really a passion and full of love, and people just like it.
Okay. Do you like it?
We like it.
Okay. Now, Sempre Libera, that's Violetta. That's the role you're singing there, right?
Mm-hmm.
What is she singing in that song?
What she wants to be always free and happy and enjoy her life, which is not much left because she's dying. So.
Right. So not the happiest tune in the repertoire.
She's trying to be happy. She's trying to tell herself what she's happy, mm-hmm. but it's not.
But it's also, I mean, that's a role that as an actress you can really make something out of.
Oh, yes. It's besides the difficult singing, it's a very difficult acting there.
Okay, so you've got to be thinking, can you separate one from the other, or is it all one
it
role?
It has to be together. Yeah. It has to be together.
Now the performance on screen with Princess Diaries 2 is one thing, but you have also recently made a smaller screen debut with a music video.
Yeah.
Dvorak's Song to the Moon or Song of the Moon?
Yeah, there was five opera arias directed by Vincent Peterson, and it was done in a like crazy fantasy way. They all look different, and it was lots of fun. That was a new thing. Nobody ever done this before. And actually, we was criticizing for that a lot. But I personally, I like it. I think it looks beautiful, it's nice, and it's something new.
When people criticize you for doing that, what is the criticism? Is it that it looks...
One critic, actually, I was laughing there because the DVD calls the woman the voice, and the critics say, the body, the lip sync. I was laughing so much because it's not a
because you're lip-syncing,
yeah,
right?
Of course.
Okay. this morning I watched the excerpt from Dvorak's Rusalka, the Song to the Moon, which it looks like you're standing really in a swimming pool and then submerging yourself. Did that really happen? Did you really have to do that?
Yeah, I was in a swimming pool and it was in the night and it was very cold and I was jet lagged because I just came from Russia to Los Angeles and I was sleeping in between the takes and they was shaking me to woke me up.
So who is this being made for? Where do you expect people would go to watch a Dvorak opera excerpt MTV style?
No. This is the whole DVD. There is the five opera arias and plus interview. So it's like them.
Oh, so it's
but
not...
You can buy this, I think, only in Europe.
I see.
And it was on. It was also on the TV.
So it's... It was on TV in Europe.
This is like a TV program, but
okay.
They make the DVD from that.
I see. Because, you know, I don't see MTV getting this into rotation anytime soon.
It was on MTV as well in Europe.
They're always so much better over there, MTV Europe, than here in the States. Do you think that this will actually help, I don't know, get some of those younger listeners to maybe give opera
a
chance?
It did in Europe. It was on the pop charts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, it makes sense.
Right. I guess it's one thing for people to actually buy the DVD and another to actually get them to go to the opera. But
this is not a serious opera. It's a fantasy. It's more like fun.
Okay. So we're speaking with Anna Netrebko. The Russian soprano is performing in Verdi's Rigoletto through February at the Met. In addition to, you know, your image on stage, you have an offstage image as kind of a rowdy party girl. You like to go out and dance late into the night and shop and all that kind of stuff?
Well, no more and no less than the other girls at my age. But unfortunately, right now, the responsibility is so big on me, and I just cannot simply give a bad performance. And the bad performance you will give if you're partying all the night. So sometimes when I have time, I'm partying, and I'm having a good time. But
mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, it's very rare right now.
Well, there is this kind of famous incident that the Times reported on a couple of years ago where you were doing The Tsar's Bride and something happened halfway through.
Yeah, that was my birthday. I'm never drinking before the performance or during the performance. No, you just cannot do that. But it was my birthday, and in intermission, I came to the rehearsal department, and they was drinking vodka. I said, ah, come on, let's drink. And I drink vodka, and I said, ah, happy birthday, na zdrowie, blah, blah, blah. And after that, I went to sing the mad scene. That was one of my best performances.
The mad scene.
Right. Yeah, that was fun. But you never, never can do that, because once you start, you can continue with that, and you don't need it.
Right.
There is a lot of fun on the stage without any alcohol.
So now you're here in New York City, and you've got performances through February. So I guess you're spending a good deal of time here right now. There's a lot of stuff you'd like to do. How do you find that balance? You know, you're a very visible part of the opera world, and you know, it seems like maybe, as you say, there isn't a whole lot of time to really get out and enjoy the city the way you might like to.
No, I'm enjoying the city. I actually bought an apartment here. So I'm still a Russian citizen. I'm still living in St. Petersburg. But I have so many engagements in the Metropolitan Opera. So I will be back here.
Okay. So you have a place here in Manhattan? Or
yes.
Okay. You also have these two albums of arias. Musetta's Waltz from La Boheme is on the first one. What is this song about? This aria.
How I am beautiful and how everybody is just crazy about me. Look at me, how I'm looking. I'm dressed so well and I'm so pretty. So just everything about that.
Okay. Somehow seemed like an appropriate piece to play. Here it is from Anna Netrebko. Musetta's Waltz from La Boheme, sung by my guest Anna Netrebko. Anna, you have a very dark voice. I mean, it's a high voice, soprano, obviously, but a kind of almost like Maria Callas.
No. I have a different kind of voice. No.
My
voice is lighter than her. I cannot sing the dramatic repertoire like she did.
Well, that's true. I mean, she took on roles that were very, as you say, very dramatic, and some people claim roles that she probably shouldn't have taken on, and that didn't do much for her
voice. Don't listen to people. Do what you have to do.
Yeah. Now, doing what you have to do, I mean, you have to take care of your voice. How does the voice mature as you hit 30? I mean, is your voice better now than it was 5 or 10 years ago?
Well, I hope so. It's definitely bigger in the volume and has more colors, I hope.
Mm-hmm. And does it tend to rise or fall?
It's going a little bit down, yeah.
Going a little down.
Yeah. It's okay. A normal process.
Mm-hmm. So how do you keep in shape? I mean, I know that sounds like an athlete, pumping iron and stuff, but you are sort of an athlete. You have to keep those muscles in shape.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm just singing all the time. Almost never stop. I mean, I have a day off, but no, you just have to sing and sing and sing.
Right.
In the good way.
Well, so how do you avoid, and here is another sort of comparison to Maria Callas, how do you avoid that, the kind of burnout, the premature burnout of the voice?
It might happen, but I'm trying to be very careful. I'm not really singing too dramatical stuff. I mean, I'm doing Traviata, but very rare, just sometimes. And I'm always coming back to Mozart and to Bellini, Donizetti, which is really, really good for your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes also what can, let's say, damage your voice, it's too many passion on the stage. When I became to be too biting the stage, you know, really, this is can be. Then when you're pushing, so you have to be sort of careful about this.
So what we were talking before about, you know, acting and singing at the mm-hmm. same time, you can't just throw yourself into it. You have to sort of, there has to be some part of your brain that's saying,
yeah,
cool it a little.
Of course, because especially in the roles like a Traviata, there is many moments when you're just about to start to cry.
Mm.
And you cannot cry and sing in the same moment. It's just not possible.
Right. although in opera, it seems like you can sing when, I mean, Aida is singing while she's suffocating to death. So in the world of opera, it is all about fantasy. But I was curious to hear you say that things like Bellini are actually good for the voice.
Oh, yeah.
That suggests that maybe there are operas that aren't so good for the voice.
I will not name those operas, but we all know what they exist. And we do like them. We like them to sing and we like them to listen. But mm-hmm. sometimes it might be not so healthy to perform them all the time.
Is that because the composer has asked you to go out of your range?
All the time, yeah. There is exist so many operas like this.
Okay.
It can be dangerous.
But Verdi's Rigoletto, is this a good one? Is this a happy opera for the voice?
Yeah, it's very difficult. I mean, for me, it's one of the hardest.
Uh-huh.
Even if it's pleasure to sing, but I worked a lot on this to really put this on my voice.
Well, there are performances at the Met through February. My guest is the Russian soprano Anna Netrebko. We're going to conclude with another excerpt from one of these albums of opera arias, O Mio Babbino Caro from Puccini. Anna, a real pleasure to have you here in our studio this afternoon.
Thank you very much.
And good luck with the rest of the run of performances at the Met.
Thank you.
This is Soundcheck. That'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow on Soundcheck, we'll look at the new musical tastemakers, from internet reviewers to bloggers to online fan sites. Just who is determining what will be the next big thing? And we'll speak with Darlene Love. She's the voice behind some signature pop songs of the 60s, like He's a Rebel. And she's expanded her career to the Broadway stage. Soundcheck's technical director is Irene Trudell. Our engineer today was Rob Christensen. Our program is produced by Allison Lichter and Brian Wise. Our senior producer is Gisele Regatau. Our executive producer is Chris Bannon. We had help today from Melissa Fogarty. I'm John Schaefer. Join us again at this time tomorrow for the next Soundcheck here on New York Public Radio.